Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we return to Acts chapter 9 and look at seven characteristics of the new life that we have in Christ as Christians, which will help us to understand what the Christian life is all about. And this is illustrated in the life of Saul of Tarsus immediately after he was converted on the Damascus Road. And we'll get back into that list. We've covered actually the first two aspects, and we have five to go. But let me pause first and simply remind you that we are dependent in part upon the gifts of our radio listeners to maintain this program on this station, and we very much need to hear from some of you. Throughout the month of November, we are offering a book by Tom Wells entitled Come Home Forever, published by Evangelical Press. It's about an 80-page book that will encourage God's people and is also very suitable as an evangelistic tool, and we will gladly send a copy in response to a gift of any amount to the Beacon Broadcast. Simply write to Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, and tell us that you'd like to receive this book by Tom Wells. And let me thank you in advance for your help in maintaining this Bible teaching ministry. Now, seven aspects of the new life in Christ. First of all, as we saw last week, there is a new relationship. Secondly, there is a new nature. And now thirdly, there is new communication. Now, I'm reading in verse 10. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said, or to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Now there are actually two forms of communication that are indicated to us here in these two verses, these three verses, verses 10, 11, and 12 of Acts chapter 9. There's first of all communication from God, and there's secondly communication to God. We might say with God, but to God. The communication from God in this particular case comes as a vision from God speaking to Ananias. Again, verse 10, to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, and we have in the remainder, verses 11 and 12, the words that God spoke to Ananias in this vision. And this is God communicating with his people. You say, well, I've been saved for a long time, and I've never had a vision like that, and I've never heard God speaking audibly to me like that, and I can add my amen to that because I've never had that either. The point is not the form of communication, which actually in this particular instance was extraordinary, though we have many examples of it in the Bible, but nevertheless it is extraordinary, extraordinary being extraordinary, something that is outside the ordinary. And even though we do have many examples of this in the Bible, we have to realize that this is outside the ordinary way that God communicates with his people. And you say, how does God normally communicate with his people most of the time? And today, in particular? And the answer to that, of course, is through His Word, the Bible. Keep two things in mind. Now, number one, when God spoke to Ananias in this way, there was no New Testament scripture for Ananias to read and study. There's a lot of this kind of communication indicated in the history of the early church because it is a new era. It is a new covenant. There are many things that are new. Christ came in the fullness of time. There is a transition. There is something distinctly new. And the new covenant scriptures, which describe, define, and delineate what has happened under this new covenant with the coming of Christ, have not yet been written, certainly have not been distributed. In other words, you have a people of God, a New Testament, New Covenant people of God, who are in a new era, but they have the scriptures only of the old era, the Old Testament scriptures, which are as much the Word of God as the New Testament scriptures, should never be minimized, should never be neglected. But we do have to realize that the New Testament scriptures represent a superior revelation in this respect, in this respect only, in that they are the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. They are the culmination of what the Old Testament scriptures prepared God's people for, pointed them to, got them ready for, but did not give the fullness of the revelation because they couldn't until Christ came. Christ is the ultimate and final revelation from God, and it is the New Testament scriptures that tell us about the coming of Christ and reveal to us the doctrine of Christ and help us understand the meaning of the coming of Christ, which meaning, which event was laid out in the Old Testament scriptures. And those who had the Old Testament scriptures were not without any revelation or understanding, but they were without the fullness of revelation and the completeness of understanding which is available to us today. So, for that reason, God's communication to most of His people is entirely through the Bible, the Word of God. Can God communicate in other ways? Of course He can. We have examples of it in the Bible. Does God communicate with His people in other ways? He does if He wants to. Would I say absolutely and unequivocally that God never speaks to anybody today like He did to Ananias? No, I'd be very foolish to say something like that, but I will insert a big word of caution, which is to say, you need not expect that kind of communication. God certainly does not communicate with all of His people in that way, if any of them today. If any of them today, but certainly not all of them. God didn't communicate with all of His people that way, even in the New Testament transitional period. In these days of the early church, it was only certain people that received this kind of communication. Even then, this kind of communication was extraordinary, was outside the ordinary. And I would say that today it's even more extraordinary. And I am very cautious, I am frankly very skeptical of those who claim to have these kinds of visions today. Would I say that it is impossible? No. Would I say that it is likely? No. I would say that it is not at all likely. I am very skeptical about whether it happens at all today. Why do I say that? Well, number one, why should God reveal things like this today? Why should God speak to someone in a vision or directly from heaven when He has given us now His full revelation, His full word? We now have the 27 books of the New Testament. Ananias had no books of the New Testament. Not one. Not one. We have them all 27. All Ananias had was the 39 books of the Old Testament. We have the 27 books of the New Testament. Well, you say that still would not have directed Ananias to the location of Saul. If he had the 27 books of the New Testament and read them thoroughly, that would not have led him to Saul. And I agree with that. I know that to be true. Would God, therefore, have spoken to Ananias in a vision if all 27 books of the New Testament had been in his deposit? That I cannot say. That's why I don't want to be dogmatic. I'm not certain that he would have, and I certainly don't believe that he would have had to in order to direct Ananias there, but I will concede that he may. But here's the point. If God speaks in such revelations today, what is that but new revelation? The Word of God. See, when God spoke to Ananias this way, this became part of the Bible, part of the New Testament Scriptures, right? The only reason I know that God spoke to Ananias this way is because I'm reading it in the New Testament in Acts chapter 9, right? Here it is. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Now the only reason I know that God spoke to Ananias in this way is because the Holy Spirit has included that in the New Testament Scriptures. The Holy Spirit directed a man named Luke, a New Testament prophet, who was given ability and power and authority to write the book of Acts, along with the Gospel of Luke. And when he wrote the book of Acts, it became a part of the Bible, and we have it forever. In other words, what God spoke to Ananias became part of the Bible. It became Scripture. It became God's revelation. Now, if God speaks to somebody like that today, what is that? Is that going to become part of the Bible? Oh no, you say the Bible is now complete. Most Christians would say that. The Bible's now complete. You can't add anything to it. Okay. So I say again, if God speaks to someone in this way today, what does that communication become? If it's not part of the Bible, and it obviously cannot be, there's no way to add it to the Bible. If it's not part of the Bible, then what is it? Well, that's private communication just to me. Well, is it? Has God really spoken to you in that way? Or does God now direct us as we read, study, and hear His Word? God certainly speaks to His people today, but I question whether He speaks the same way He spoke to Ananias. God does speak to His people. Jesus said in John chapter 10, My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And that's just one of several passages that we could refer to that tell us that God speaks to His people. God is speaking to His people today. God continues to speak to His people, but the question is, how does God speak to His people? Now, I can, at this point, give you personal testimony. I can tell you that the way God has spoken most clearly, directly, and powerfully to me is through His Word. Sometimes, when I'm reading it and studying it for myself, He speaks to me very clearly, directly, and powerfully, as the Word itself becomes more clear and more compelling than ever before. Sometimes I'm reading a passage of Scripture that I have read many times before. How many times have you read it before? Well, scores and scores and scores, if not hundreds. How do you know it's at least scores and scores and scores? Because I've read through the entire Bible now scores of times. I have a systematic daily Bible reading program that I have been pursuing now for several decades, and that assures me that I have read every word in the Bible scores of times, and most of the words in the Bible many more times than that, because most of them I have read more than just in my daily Bible reading schedule. But there are portions of God's Word that I have read, let's say, just to be sure that we're being understating the case rather than overstating it, let me say that I have read it dozens of times before, rather than scores. I'll crank it down, dozens. At least two or three dozen times before, at the very least. I have read it many times before, but it didn't particularly grab me, if I can use that term, before, the way it does now. What is that? Well, I'm confident that that's God speaking to me through His Word. And He causes the Holy Spirit to so focus my attention, to illuminate my understanding, to open my mind, to cause me to pay attention to understand and pay attention to a particular passage of Scripture, whether it's a phrase, whether it's an entire verse, whether it is something to be drawn from a more extended passage. But God causes me to understand some truth from His Word in a more vivid and compelling way than I understood it before, and it speaks to me in my present need and situation. It may be that I have been puzzling about something. It may be that I have been looking for direction, for guidance. It may be that I have been trying to solve a particular problem in my life, or maybe to help somebody else with a problem in their life. And it is as if God almost knocks me over the head with a baseball bat of a particular part of Scripture that becomes more clear and real and powerful to my understanding than ever before. And that's the way God speaks to me. Now, I should also say that it seems to me, again, personal experience, that the most heart-searching and powerful occasions of that occur when I am sitting under the preaching of God's Word. I have experienced what I have just described many times when I am reading and studying God's Word for myself. I have experienced it most powerfully when I have been sitting under the preaching of God's Word, when a man that God has called and equipped for public ministry is preaching the Word of God to a congregation of which I am a part of that congregation, and God, the Holy Spirit, grabs my attention, squeezes my heart, drives a truth home to me, many times convicts me of sin or of error, something that I have been pursuing or believing that is wrong, and I need to understand that it's wrong, shows me the truth, brings me to submission to the truth, and it does it in a very powerful and memorable way that seems to me, that strikes me even more powerfully than these similar occasions happen when I'm doing this in private. And I must add to that that sometimes this happens to me in times of prayer. And when something comes to me very clearly in prayer, it is as if a problem that I am praying about, communicating to God about, suddenly becomes clear to me as the Holy Spirit takes some truth from God's Word and applies it to this situation in a clearer, more powerful, more compelling way than I have ever seen before. In fact, it may very well be that there's a new application of Scripture that I had not understood before. Now, this is how God speaks to me. I don't find anything inadequate about that. In fact, I find that very satisfactory. I find that completely fulfilling. I find that to be everything I need in the way of divine guidance, all through the Bible, the Word of God. I don't need anything else than that. God God's word is sufficient to guide me. Obviously, only as the Holy Spirit is working in my heart. I am a born-again believer, regenerated by the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. I am dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God making God's word come alive to me. Neither I nor anyone can understand it apart from the working of the Spirit of God, but this is how the Spirit works in my heart and makes God's will known to me, and I find that perfectly satisfactory. I don't, frankly, have any need for a vision, a direct communication, God speaking to me from heaven. And I'm puzzled as to why some people insist upon this as being a need, seem so determined that they are going to have something like this, and then are so determined that they are going to report it when they have it. Let other people know that God speaks to them in that way. And again, I say to you, if God indeed does speak to you in this way, like he spoke to Ananias, what is that? Is this now more scripture that we are to add to our Bible? And if so, then how much more scripture are we going to add to our Bible? How are we going to collect all of these claimed visions from all of God's people around the world and get them all into the Bible so that we can all have the benefit of them? That, of course, is impossible. There's no mechanism for that. This work of collecting the inscripturated Word of God is complete and over. God the Holy Spirit has done that work. He has collected everything that he wants us to have in the Bible. We have this vision of Ananias in Acts chapter 9 in the Bible. That was part of the scripture. We have no way of collecting these things now, putting them in the Bible. And so again, I say to you, what is that? Is that vision that you say that you had, is that the Word of God? If so, shouldn't it be in the Bible? If not, if it should not be in the Bible, if it's not on that level, then what is it? Where does the Bible indicate to us that there is some kind of inferior revelation which does not rise to the standard of the Bible? It's not the same level of revelation as we have in the Bible, but it is something more than what people get from simply reading and studying the Bible. Where do we find any indication that God intends to have some kind of a secondary level of revelation? Do you see what I'm getting at? I'm not trying to be provocative. I'm just trying to think these things through, as I have thought them through for myself, and try to help some of you think these things through, so that you can understand what is going on. I think that people who are looking for visions like this are, if I could use an idiom, are barking up the wrong tree. I think you're looking for some kind of emotional experience that the Bible doesn't promise you, that God does not intend to give to you, and what it's going to do is to open you up for probable deception. If you are looking for something that God does not intend to give you, then the chances are that the devil will give you what you're looking for in order to mislead you. The fact of the matter is that if you have a revelation that is not in the Bible, some direct revelation from God, several things are going to have to be true about it. Number one, it's going to have to be something that does not contradict the Bible, or it can't be God's word. Right? If it contradicts the Bible, it didn't come from God. God's word is not contradictory. So if it's opposite of what the Bible says, then you can be certain that what you thought was a revelation from God is actually a revelation of the devil. Okay? If it is something that is extra biblical, it's not in the Bible, it's something different, it's not contradicted by the Bible, but it's something different, additional to the Bible, then we get back to my first question, then that evidently ought to be additional revelation added to the Bible. If God has given revelation that is something beyond what is in his word, then by all means, let's all have it. God has given us additional revelation. But how are we going to confirm that this is in fact from God? A lot of times people think they get things from God that are not. So we've got a real problem here. And in the third place, if the revelation that you think you have received from God is simply restating something that's already in the Bible, then why did you need that? Why would anybody need that? It's already there. Again, I'm reminding you that these first century Christians didn't have the 27 books of the New Testament. They needed revelation, which was an addition to what God had given up until that point in the written Word of God, the inscripturated revelation of God. They needed something beyond the 39 books of the Old Testament. But now that we have the 27 books of the New Testament in addition to the 39 books of the Old Testament, why do we need anything additional? And if you are looking for something additional when God does not intend for us to have something additional, doesn't that put you in a very vulnerable position to be led by your emotions and your own thoughts that you think are God's thoughts, but they're not? Or, to be even worse, led or misled by lying thoughts that are put in your mind by the devil that you believe to have come from God. That puts you in a very dangerous position. Not only a vulnerable position, but a very dangerous position. Now we're talking about seven aspects of the new life, understanding the Christian life. When we have been born into the family of God, when we've been born again, we have, number one, a new relationship. That's the servant-master relationship we talked about last week. Number two, we have a new nature. That's the nature of saints, holy ones, separated ones, that we talked about last week. And we have, thirdly, a new communication from God, which is God speaking to us. And that's the one we've talked about today. And I'm suggesting to you that this new communication is, in effect, a new life, new enlivenment, if I can put it that way, of the Bible itself. The Bible, which really didn't speak to us much at all, very clearly at all, before we were saved, it just, to many people, it just is a closed book. They don't understand it. They don't find it interesting or compelling. Of course not. You're unconverted. You're blind. You're deaf. But now that you are a Christian, the Bible has become alive. It's become a living book to you. And God is speaking to His people powerfully through His Word. And that's how God speaks to us today. Powerfully through His Word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit makes the Bible alive, powerful, clear, compelling, convicting to God's people. And that is new communication, because it is the newly energized communication of God's Spirit using the Bible in our lives. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.